Hello, this is my Lenten diary for April the 11th, 2014. This is Friday in the fifth week of Lent. We're only a week away from Good Friday. Next week, Christians all over the world will gather and spend time reflecting and commemorating upon the death of Jesus on the cross. Beginning on Palm Sunday, we will hear the story from several different versions of Jesus' passion and death. It is the central week of the Christian year. There is so much drama in the story. And yet, we will be distracted between now and Good Friday with all sorts of issues from our real life. We will worry about how we're going to put braces on a kid's teeth or how we're going to re-roof our house. We will struggle with relationships, perceived slights at work or in a community meeting or maybe even church. We will deal with all sorts and conditions of things between now and next Friday. It's hard to keep the focus. It's hard to remember that as the church, this story of Jesus' suffering and death and ultimate resurrection is the story that gives us our reason for being as a church. The story of God's redemption of the world through His Son, Jesus. But we're no different than those first disciples in our tendency to be distracted, in our tendency to worry about how we fit, and what is this story to us in the midst of all the things that we've got going on in our lives. In today's reading from the Gospel of Mark, assigned in the daily office, Jesus and the disciples are on their way to Jerusalem, on their way to begin that journey that will end with Jesus' death. And Jesus is talking plainly to the disciples about what's about to happen. Now, scholars have debated about whether or not Jesus really knew what was going to happen, or if he was simply talking to the disciples based on what he knew of the power structure in Jerusalem and he was giving it his best guess, or if this is simply the gospel writer putting back onto the story some words from Jesus, because the Gospel of Mark is written 35 or 40 years after the events took place. Whatever the reason, however it comes to be that Jesus is talking about his impending suffering and death, the thing that makes the story so human is that while he's talking about what he is going to endure, James and John, two of his closest disciples, are busy working out seating arrangements for the coming kingdom. They go to Jesus and say, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask." And Jesus says, "What is it?" And they said, "We want you to grant that when you come into your glory, we'll sit both of us on, one of us on the right-hand side and one of us on the left of you on your throne." Here they are, jockeying for positions of authority. They want to get the best seats in the house. They want to be elevated above all of their fellow disciples, to be afforded these two positions of honor. Jesus asks them a great question. "Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink, or to be baptized with the baptism that I will receive?" And I love it. So unreflectively, they say, "We're able." Jesus lets them know, "You're going to drink the cup, and you will be baptized with my baptism," meaning they will be martyred. they will be martyred for being followers of Jesus. And then he says, but it's not up to me to arrange the seating in the kingdom of God. And then he goes a step further. He uses the language that many of us in the church have heard plenty of times. The greatest among you will be the servant of all. The last will be first. The first will be last. This is the inverted nature of the kingdom of God. And we get it in our heads. It's a slogan. We understand it as a mantra for the life of faith. But it is so hard to live it, isn't it? It's so hard to be a servant. It's so hard to give up our natural inclination toward power, prestige, and places of authority and honor. Before we're too quick to judge James and John as being completely clueless, which they were, and to be utterly insensitive to the environment around them, which they were, I think these next few days affords us an opportunity to do some internal reflection on our own. How are we constantly jockeying for position? How are we always really looking out for ourselves, even under the auspices of being altruistic? How do we model or not the servant attitude of our Savior Jesus, who said, I came not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life for many? As we walk these last few days of Lent, I pray that our hearts will be opened to the opportunity for service. And I pray that our eyes will be opened to see the ways in which we're no different than James and John. And I pray that our ears will be opened to hear our Lord's voice, to follow Him in ways of service. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.